Thank you so much, brethren, beloved of God, and also beloved by me. I thank you so much for your spirit of resilience. You're a people who not only proclaim the awesome power of God, but you demonstrate it. And I tell you, as two of the deacons came to tell me that we will have to put off the services yesterday morning because of things beyond our control, little did I had known then that the country was experiencing hurricane conditions, not following the news as closely as I normally do. And because we have enjoyed such lovely weather in this area, I thought that the country was just having a little rain. I had not realized that many areas were without electricity, that the Prime Minister had to cut his visit short, because I know he was supposed to have been away until this weekend, that people were in shelters, the schools had been closed, that many businesses had been closed. And so when we had a little fourth thing, I thought that, well, you know, by the morning everything would be okay. So I was coming over when two of the deacons said, well, we have to do something else. So I said, well, go over and tell the people that we will make new arrangements and let them know. So while I was making the new arrangements, Brother Hendricks called me and said, listen, man, these people are serious, and the people I'm not leaving. The people I'm up here singing and they won't leave. I said, what? He said, listen, but Smith, come here now, and Smith is up here leading them and them singing and they won't leave. I said, well, what is this? I mean, if you don't leave. So when I called back, the man said, listen, my man, you are told they're making plans, you know, about the service going on, you know. I said, why? I said, I don't want you to go back to Kingston. I said, I miss any service, you know. Mind, you know. But he said, the man is about to call up Deacon O'Connor now. I said, what? I heard that place rocked. The people refuse. Brother Scott was calling me. I said, wait, what can I do? Listen to me. The service have to go on. So while I was making arrangements, the brethren were in the dark, rocking, that they weren't concerned that there was no water. And you know, I say that, you know, leadership is great. But when you're a leader who has a people with this zeal, whether you want to go or not, you know, you have to move. Yes. Because you're going to look left out. Yes. So even if I had wanted to cancel, when I hear that the people are refusing, I mean, the people could have easily said, well, let them go to the American feast site, or, you know, forget about this. And let us go somewhere else, because, you know, it's not the only place. The people were insisting that they were going to stick with the church under whatever circumstances. They weren't fleeing to any comfortable place. And I said, you know, this is the caliber of people that I am privileged to lead. And as Brother Smith said to me last night, and he said, this me, I want to tell you something. You see, if you never pull off that service that evening, you would have been in serious trouble. The service that take place and you're not here. Do I remind him that service can only take place when I authorize it as a pastor? I am the only one who can authorize services. I told him that, you know, so whatever. I'm the only one who has that authority. But I tell you, brethren, I am so inspired. And then how Brother Hendricks and others were able to organize, to have so many people in such a short while. What's the hotel there? And I have, you know, I have spoken to them very firmly about Because, you know, I operate at a very high level of efficiency. And I'm very hard on those who are very close to me. People who are not very efficient and who don't operate at a high level, it's very difficult to work with me. I suggest that they, you know, they can be friends, but don't work close with me. Because it's, you know, you're going to be harshly dealt with. But I'm fortunate to have a number of really serious people who know what I'm like and who much prefer to work than to face my wrath when they don't perform at the levels that they ought to. And I tell you, Brother Hendricks, his work has been, I mean, so, it's just phenomenal. And how I could leave in his hands to organize, to ensure that everyone gets here for 1 o'clock. And of course, it's good to have a good name. I was able to call here, and once the people know who I was, they didn't even know what organization it was. They weren't concerned whether we could pay. Once I mentioned my name, they said, okay, they will do it. And they were able to really come through at a moment's notice. And today we are all here. But I tell you, brethren, keep on being. You see, if you are a lackadaisical people, you know, I could easily say, boy, I get a day off now, you know. Everybody would say, yeah, man, let me just forget about the day. And, you know, those who want to go to that with the Americans, go on and the rest enjoy the day. Because it's not a Sabbath. It's not a Sabbath, you know. So we could have done that. This is why environment is so important. It's very important for us to be an environment of people who push us. Because left to ourselves, we would take an easy path. Even as leaders. So I benefit so much from the people, you know. And people praise me a great deal. But a lot of my zeal comes from people. I'm in an organization. People, I like that. That is how they are. So I can't fall down. They expect a certain standard. I mean, last time the place was washing away. You know, I mean, I excuse anybody who was not here. I don't excuse people easily, but I excuse anybody who was not here yesterday. But there were people who were here, and they were here at 8 o'clock. And just the fact that you know that there are these persons who are always there, who can be depended on, is remarkable. So, boy, I thank God for this church. I hope that I will always have people of this caliber. That when I am weak, that when I want to fall back, I would have to say, boy, those are my people and I'm their leader, so I better rush and catch up with them and go ahead. I thank God for you, brethren. You have been a great source of my strength, and I hope that you will continue. You know, today I want to look at the power of God. Power of God. I mean, men had all their big plans in Kingston. The schools were set in a lot of homework. And they were going to pressure our children when they come back about how they were behind, how they were wasting time, and how they are very important things to get through the curriculum, and we can't lose any days because things are already tight. We can't lose any days at all. So how come you're going away? You're busy making the plans. The Prime Minister should have spoken to a number of groups in New York. I told him I was going to be off. I found that he was going to be off for a great period of the time that I would have been off. Plans were made with the budget and all of that. They have to recast all of that. Hundreds of millions of dollars of damage. In a short while, man see the force and the power of nature. Yes. Made by God and in control. Yes, by God. Yes, man see power. Dig up, mash up road, mash up bridge. Yes, mash up house. Yes, mash up plans. Yes. The power. God. Awesome. The scientists are only now coming to understand this power. The power of the universe. What is greater than the power of God? What can match the power of God? What can stop the power of God? But you are wrong. But you are wrong. But you are wrong. There is something that can stop the power of God. The power of God is not the greatest element when it comes to your salvation. I want to start by subtracting and getting up. The power of God is not the single most decisive factor. And I want you, those here who are tend to disagree because I want to get your attention. This awesome power of God that brought into being the universe just by the speaking of the word. And God upholds the entire universe by his power. I won't begin to tell you about what physics has discovered, what quantum mechanics has unraveled. But the power of God is not the most decisive factor that will result in your being around for the last great day. You know, this is one of the most important truths for Christians. And it's hard for Christians to understand. Because Christians like to be humble. Christians like to give all the glory to God. My daughter just sang. What is sang? The love of God. What was the thing to keep you? I wrote it down here. May you so and so the love keep you. What was it again? You don't remember your own song? Till we meet, but you say that the love, I did write it. Huh? May he give you the strength. May he give you this, may he give you that. May he give you whatsoever that. I'm here to tell you, brethren, as you go home, that there's a lot that is dependent on you. On you. That your lack of faith can sabotage even the power of God. Come to give you a doctrine, I come to give you a practical thing. Your lack of faith can sabotage the last great day. Represents the period when the vast majority of people who had never heard about the gospel will get their first chance and will be assessed. They will come up in a white throne judgment and they'll be judged for a period of approximately a year. We surmise from Isaiah. God desires all men to be saved. God wants all men to be saved. Let me ask you. Does God have the power to bring about his desires? Human beings desire all for things. But we don't have the power to bring about all our desires. Does God have the power to bring about all these desires? All right. He has the power to bring about all desires. He desires all men to be saved. We see that in Timothy. He desires all men to be saved. Will all men be saved? No. So we'll have you now. Listen to some thinking. Yes, man. Listen to some thinking here now. If God can fulfill all his desires, and he is not willing that any should perish, and he wants all to be saved, how come at the end of the last great day, how come at the end of the millennium, after all of that work, after the end of that period, Satan get people the sun and the sea for the hunter? And gather God and me, God. And sun and sea A fire will come and destroy them. God desires. I want us to understand human responsibility. I'll be able to talk. I heard young Kimani, a very sharp fellow, talking about the sovereignty of God at a Monday meeting. And waxing about sovereignty of God. A lot of people wax about sovereignty. And they don't understand the implications. And they undervalue human responsibility. As you go home, there is a critical truth that I want to give you. That will be the most important factor in your success or failure this year. In this very room years ago, there were persons who were here for the last great day. Today, they say, I must not say that they are on the rubbish heap of history, so I will not say that they are on the rubbish heap of history, because I have been advised against it. I will simply say, they are not here. I will compassionately say they are not here. And it is not because the power of God was shut and that God did not want them to be here. It was not because of that. Because of something in them. You see, the Christian gives all the glory to God and is humble. And in fact, whenever you start to talk anything about confidence and so on, you're reminded very harshly by some brethren that this may, don't try to think too much about yourself, you know. Don't try to put self before God, because this is about God and it's not about you. Sir Johnson say amen. But I want to invite you to think. I want to commend to your mind some scriptures. In November, I'm going to start some doctrinal sermons. Is that when I talk about doctrine, I talk about nine little friends them outside who talk, a little pian pian thing with them talking about. Talking about deep theology as a result of exhaustive, serious studies. I talk about read trumpet. Talk about that. Talking about reading the finest journals, digging into the best sources. Doing the kind of research that we saw in Kimani's work. Good start. They need to continue. In November, we'll start some serious. We'll look at the doctrine of universalism. I have not touched on that from the 80s. I wanted to give an exhaustive thing on the universalism. I want us to look at Calvinism. October is some serious instructional thing, but with November, serious doctrinal things we're going to be dealing with. Prepare for it. But to introduce it to us, a few things. The doctrine of Brother George came with two messages that are so solid. The doctrines of the church, the brethren need to understand the doctrines of Mr. Armstrong. We need to understand when Mr. Armstrong talked about character development and the importance of character development and why we must overcome and we must qualify for the kingdom. A lot of people don't read theology, only I read some foo-foo magazine. You don't realize why the Protestant churches are incensed at the very phrase, qualify for the kingdom.
Yeah, man who studied theology, you understand that?
A Protestant man said, you talk about qualify for the kingdom. Jesus has qualified you already. What kind of obnoxiousness is that? I mean, qualify. How can a human being ever qualify for the kingdom? Armstrong has been knocked significantly for that. You talk about qualify for the new worldwide church. We're going to put out a lot of studies on that. You can't qualify for the kingdom. Christ has qualified you already. Christ has done it.
And I'm sure he talked a lot about overcoming.
He said, listen, man,
And they've given texts, and they are texts about Christ.
This is, you know, what has overcome the world. Your faith in Christ has overcome the world.
So Armstrong talking about who will come. Although it's up to human beings. This is why we're accused of salvation by works. And you don't understand the Protestant. I need to do some studies on the Protestant Reformation. You need to know the Reformer. You need to know the doctrines of Calvin.
And in November, I'm going to be teaching you on the doctrine of justification by faith. I'm going to take them to school in November.
Teach you the doctrine of justification by faith.
So when I go to the road now, I know all these doctrines. I know about Zwingli. I know about Calvin. You must know about Calvin. You must know about Luther. And some of us have Calvinistic views and don't know it. Because we don't study doctrine enough. We need to know why we believe, and we need to know the doctrines of the Church of God. We need to know our doctrines. Or we listen to some radio program and I get some little tracks. And I listen to some little fool people. And we do not understand the doctrines that God has set in his church through Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Armstrong believed that human beings had to work for salvation.
While we are saved by grace, we may have worked.
And he used to emphasize
that it is the doers of the law who will be justified. The awesome power of God is not the most important factor in your salvation. It is the decisions that you, Sophia, talk away and make. You and Simeon are in the same house, with the same Holy Spirit, listening to the same sermons, having contact with the same set of people, undergoing the same economic problems. God wants you and Simeon to be saved. It's not the difference between what makes you overcome or him overcome. It's not going to be the power of God and the desire of God and the Holy Spirit that both of you have. It's not going to be that. It is the decisions that each of you make. It's you, your factor, that's going to be the most decisive.
I have some preachers that sound righteous telling you about forget about self and forget about what you can do.
Anytime anybody starts work close to me in the church and talk like that, you're losing position. I tell Smith all the day, you better believe you can make a big difference in church. I don't want you around me if you feel, say, well, it's just the Lord. You have an important factor. There is a difference you can make.
If you had other sort of leaders, you wouldn't even have a meeting here today. Everything was in confusion. Them don't know how to do plan B. Why take all these things for granted? So, well, the Lord would have found somewhere. I don't know anything. The Lord would have found somewhere, man. No matter what, the Lord would have found somewhere.
You need to study the letters to the churches, the seven churches. Those churches came to nothing. I tell you, people don't know, well, God will, you know, the gates of hell cannot prevail. They'll make a man big up himself and feel that he's so important. They just want to big up his chest. All I would say to you is, you see outside of that, I can tell you of many churches of God. Churches of God, we're not talking about false church. Many churches of God in America, church of God in Jamaica. I do not doubt for 1 minute that they are led by spirit-filled men. Let me tell you that. I don't hold the view that I am more spirit-filled than these men that I am referring to. Their churches are flow. There are churches of God that have gone out of existence. Individual congregations. Out of existence. The place a lock up and somebody's meeting there. And Holy Spirit filled men were leading it.
But they lacked certain skills.
When Pastor Huss came to Russ, I was asking about this congregation. So I said, how many members you have? He said, when I joined, we had 70. I said, how much you have? No, he said, I have 10. Now, rather than growing, he said, I'm going to check it a few years. I have 70. No, I have 10.
He said 25 leave because calendar. He showed them our different calendar. Some leave because of Yahweh name. Some others leave because there was some church crisis and corruption. Under my leadership, when we go in and explain calendar issue, we can't lose 25 people. When we go in and explain Yahweh, we can't lose 25. We might have one or two little slow ones who will leave. Down to 10. Had there been some other ministers there, it would not.
Paul says,
he said, listen to me, he said, after my departure, what? But
we always emphasize the grievous was past.
He says, after him depart. Paul says, why me there? It can't happen. I say, well, boy, Paul, I'll be giving it. Paul said, while I am here, them things that can't happen. It's after my departure. When Scroobus was coming. And even from your own selves, men will come speaking perverse things. Paul said, after my departure, while me there, can't happen. There's something that can't happen to CJ while I am alive. Man, if you run away, not under my leadership. I mean, I make sure, say, when we leave on Smith and these other fellows, we try to find a few young people to keep on the fire.
Something cannot take place. Not just because of God.
Because of my decisions. I need to shock him to start saying, man, I get worse. I big up himself worse. No, I need to shock him about that because I want to take him in the Bible. I want to challenge you now, because when you know, feel that way, it will
stimulate your mind to find some scripture to show I'm wrong.
You look at the groups in Jamaica, I had a very fine man who was working with me, but he followed his wife and left the church. Feel him could do well without me and on the moon. And Lorna Vadim is here today. She's here in church. Vadim is here. Hold up your head, man. Hold on your head. Pastor, I call your name. Leave here about 10 years ago. She leave here 10 years ago, and when she come back the other day, she look, she see Lana, and she see one and two people she know. That 10 years when she leave, people would react to her, oh, we're happy to have you as a visitor here. They know that she was a member longer than them. One and few of us, you know. And if I take her over the ground now, with a few little Jamaicans, most of them, she know.
You think it's becoming more spiritual than a leader over there?
No. Because me I pray more. Because me I fast more than him. He's a wicked man.
No. A very godly man. The difference is in individuals. Individual decisions.
Personality. Individuals make a difference. You make a difference. The world is free. It's still God's church.
Where we are the fastest growing? We're packing chairs all over the place. And you want to call it Maroon Town. Central is one of the worst hit, by the way. There are parts of it that are cut off. It's one of the worst hit parishes in this crisis.
The old agricultural thing has been devastated in St. Elizabeth. Our brethren can't come out of them house. They can't even meet in their assembly. That's what's going on there. It's the only reason why they're not here.
And of course, if they're coming, we'd have had to be at the ground. Why this? It's not because I don't charge that the other leaders, them do have Holy Spirit and them doing some secret sin why the church not grow. It is decisions. Decisions. Individuals make a difference. And you need to go back to your homes with a renewed sense that, you know, the decisions I make on a day-to-day basis make a difference. It's not just a matter of resting in Jesus. But you know, the things, how I decide to spend my time, what I decide to think about, how I decide to react to people, all of these will make a difference.
Because let me ask you, do the theological part first. God desires all to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. How come everybody will not be saved? How come universalism is false? The last great day shows that people get an opportunity for salvation. It's not that them going to be saved. Them have to be taught. And the people who will come up in the first resurrection, who will be teaching those masses in the, that will come up on the last great day, they will have to overcome. Read Revelation. You have to overcome. Jesus said, I overcame and I'm sat on my Father's throne. You have to overcome too. If you overcome, I will give you the power over the nations. You have to overcome. So you overcome. Just rest on Jesus. But let me ask you a question. If the power of God is the most decisive thing that leads a person in the kingdom, then what about our brethren who drop out? God never loved them too. God never worked with them as much as he could. Was it God's fault? All right. If God is the most important factor, the people who drop out, the people are going to be lost. Whose fault it is? God or theirs? But you don't understand what you're answering. Because and I agree, you're right. If you say it is their fault, then it must be that something that they do is the most decisive factor in salvation. If it is what God does that is the most decisive factor, then everybody who is called would be saved. You know, a lot of you don't understand. You say, always one save, always save. A lot of you laugh at it. A lot of you don't understand the deep theological thinking that goes into that doctrine. Calvin was not a fool. He was in error, but he wasn't a fool. There is a reason why the Christians have that doctrine that if you are really regenerated, you must be saved. You know why they say? Because the power of God is such that once a person is truly converted, the power of God will keep him to the end. We in the Church of God do not believe that. But we find it hard for really say, why it really come down to our decisions. Let me clarify. Because some people's heads are tough and they don't understand balance. Everybody who is saved is ultimately saved through the power of God. Because one, we cannot overcome without the power of God, without the Spirit of God. We cannot do good without the power of God, without the Spirit of God. We cannot even will to do good. We don't even have the desire. It is the power of God, therefore, that makes it possible for us to do good. It is the power of God that gives us the strength to do good. It is the power of God that helps us to persevere until the end. It is the grace of God. It is the grace of God that wipes out our inevitable sins or regular sins. Without that, we're going to be saved. All of us here stand condemned as people who are not following the law perfectly. So you couldn't make it with all your willpower in the world, with all your great exertion of discipline, with all the things that come from yourself. Filthy rugs. Probably most people that alone learn how to think in a balanced way. Because all of those things are true. You have some preachers come on and spend time with that one. Make me look like me, I only have big up myself. But they don't understand, I understand. They haven't read enough. And they haven't thought enough about these things. Because it's very simple. Either you accept the one saved, always saved. If you don't accept what I'm saying, that it is the human factor that will play a critical part. If we don't accept that, you have to accept the one saved, always. saved.
You have to move to some form of Calvinism, whether limited Calvinism or total Calvinism. What's the essence of Calvinism? Calvinism is summarized in the acronym TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. T-U-L-I-P. TULIP. That's Calvinism. No, if you're going to get some serious teaching. What is the T for? Total depravity.
Calvin says man is totally depraved. There's nothing that can come from it as good. There's nothing that can... He is totally depraved. When man fell, or every part of him was corrupted. There's nothing that can come, no good. That is totally irredeemable, and so on. He's totally...
We believe in the... Armstrong believe in
depravity. But we don't go as far as Calvin.
But let me go to the TULIP first. So the T is for total depravity. U, unconditional election. No, we accept that. Unconditional election meaning the calling. Calvin believes, you know, that some people are called to be saved. But also some people are called to be damned. Because Calvin says nobody can come to God. So he calls some. And don't, Calvin did not understand the meaning of the last great day. Calvin did not understand, because there are many scriptures that talk about the chosen and the elect. You see, the people who disagree with Calvin, you know, what them can't deal with are the clear texts that show that it's only some called. What Calvin did not understand was God's plan of salvation as put in the holy days, and he did not understand that the people who were not called and not elected now would have a chance to be elected in the millennium, and the vast majority after the millennium is close, as typified by this day.
A lot of times, do you understand what God has given the church to Mr. Armstrong? Do you understand it? Because to me, enough, we have to study theology deep, to see the errors of theology, to come to understand the beauty of the truth that God has given us. So unconditional election, Calvin believed,
rightly, that only some people are called. But because Calvin himself was not called, because Calvin himself was not called, he didn't understand the plan of God, because he was not keeping the feast days. That's U. L. Limited atonement. This comes now to what them call double predestination. Calvin did not believe that God came, Christ came to die for everybody. He said Christ came to die for the saved, for those who be elect. Calvin did not believe that Christ came to die for the world. And you know you have all the text, but Calvin had a way to explain it. He said when he talked about the world, he came to save the world. It was limited. That world is not used to mean every single person. We're teaching all of these things in November. Calvin believed in limited atonement. Christ never come to die for the whole world. So the meaning of the last great day is contradicted by one of the greatest founders of the Reformation. Calvin said no chance, limited atonement. He makes some vessels for honor, and he makes some vessels for dishonor. Who are you to question God, oh man? Who are you, oh preacher, to question the justice of God? Will you speak back to God? Calvin said, every man sold under sin. So the very fact that God calls some and saves some, injustice. Because I make them, you can't tell him same of obligation to man. That's what Calvin says. You're fiercely. Calvin taught the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. And keep on, you talk about sovereignty of God. I don't know if you understand the whole ramifications of it. The sovereignty of God. Calvin says that sovereignty of God rules out human responsibility. And in fact, Luther agreed with him. Luther agreed with many things of Calvin.
Luther and Calvin agreed on so many things. Calvin, one of Luther's greatest books was called The Bondage of the Will. Luther's view is that man don't have the independent will. Man don't have the independent will. Armstrong preached that man has free moral agency. What's Armstrong saying for will? Armstrong wasn't a philosopher. He didn't talk about free will. Free will is what intellectuals talk about. Armstrong's word was free moral agency. Luther and Calvin says, man cannot have any free moral agency. Oh, I wish I could go to some tree or doctrine in a man. You can't take them things. Some deep doctrine. I'm a doctrine man. You soon have so much problem if you talk about practical things so often. I don't have a lot of problem, man. If we have less problem, we have, we can go into some deep doctrine. Luther's view. And a lot of them don't understand. I have some simplistic people in the church who take some of Protestant doctrine. As Brother George said, even some of our preachers have taken some Protestant doctrine and preach. And the poor little people, because they don't know tell, them feel away the Bible. I sound very humble and you know, well, we must not talk about ourselves. We must focus on the Lord and the Lord's work, because if you get involved with self, it is going to eclipse God, and be careful. So all it does is it sounds very noble. So it appeals to the nobility. You know what I mean? Yeah, true. We shouldn't be talking about self, about what man can do. Forget about man. The battle is the Lord's, it's not ours. All that sounds nice. Oh, look at people, them don't even understand a Protestant theology. Armstrong believed that human beings are here to develop character to become God. Armstrong believed that man was given free moral agency, because he could have chosen one way or another. Calvin and Luther said man can't choose, because everything is about God. Man do have the free will. So I call man in a last great day to give you. That's a foolishness. God call him, choose the kind, done that already. There's no need for no last great day. I don't understand Armstrong's thing. And I don't want to laugh at the doctrine of one saved, always saved. One save, always save is a logical doctrine once you accept the premise. Because if man doesn't have any free will, if God desires the salvation of the chosen and the elect, and God is totally sovereign, then God will bring to completion when start. It's not foolish. Once you accept the premises, because the doctrine is, we as humans, we don't really have nothing to do with it. We don't have nothing to do with it. Totally God. All belongs to God. All glory to God. Nothing to us. Nobody take none for yourself.
Sounds very noble. If a preacher comes here and preaches at him, he'll sound better than me. Because I say, boy, I say, he's going to preach himself. You're right, Johnson. Man have a responsibility. But listen to me.
What else? Me start intellectual, but me hopefully practical, you know. By the time I'm done, I'm getting some practical example to show you man have a responsibility. Me start already.
So the limited atonement. TULI. Irresistible grace.
TULIP. Irresistible grace. You know what irresistible grace mean? You can't say no to God. If God call you, you can't say no. You cannot come. Irresistible grace. And it leads to the P, perseverance of the saints. Once saved, always saved. Because the grace is irresistible, you're going to resist. You can't resist.
And I'll tell you something. If you look at some passages in the Bible, you couldn't see why Calvin says that. John 10:26. On the last great day, doctrine
and practical mix. Raising your sights. Giving you some little things that are coming in November. And I will package some of it and give finish on the end of the month, of November. In October, I give them, what may I give you in October? serious talk when we go back from transact they come in. Serious set of sermons for the rest of the year. We plan it out already.
Listen to this. John 10, verse 26. You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. Listen how Calvin said this now.
Irresistible grace. You see the people who don't belong to the sheep? Them condemned. Them condemned. Calvin believed in double predestination. In predestined some to be saved, in predestined some to be lost. You see the people who don't understand? Them condemned. Them a world. Them condemned. Them can't come. You see, whereas Billy Graham would say, "Why everybody can come to Jesus?" Calvin said, "No, Billy, I know your motive is right. Everybody can come to Jesus. It's only those who Jesus called from the foundation of the earth." Calvin had a part of the truth. Calvin had a part of the truth, you know. This is the genius of our doctrine. Calvin saw a part of the elephant. That the calling is a fact. That the elect is a fact. God called only Israel. Only one nation he called of all the nations of the earth. And today they only have one church. If you study the Bible's teaching is the elect. The doctrine of the election. From Genesis, go right back. The doctrine of the election. Calvin had that. I tell you something, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Intellect can't help you. Calvin was brilliant. Armstrong could not time Julius in terms of intellectual brilliance. The man wrote some volumes called the Institutes of the Christian Religion. Calvin was trained in law, you know. He was a master intellectual. But because I never called the little high school dropout Armstrong. Understood it. Through the holy days we know, the last great day, all of those who were not a part of the elect, they're going to come up and learn the truth. All of those who were never called, who never had the opportunity, the God of justice, the God of love, would never leave out people for all eternity. Him leave them out for a time. Blindness happened to Israel only for a time until the fullness. The Gentiles should come in. Hallelujah.
Well, listen to this text, you know. You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. Listen to this. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. And no one can snatch them out of my hands.
Well, now, you listen to that. Calvin think that. From God. Calvin, nobody can snatch you out of your hand. From God, sovereign. That's how Calvin interpret that. From God, call you. And you're part of the call. I give you eternal life. I say, once saved, always saved. I give you eternal life, and no man can snatch out of hand. When you contradict Jesus, you think anybody can snatch him out of Jesus' hand? What the church say? Anybody can snatch out of Jesus' hand? No. So that means that you must save? No, man, when you confuse that, man. Then if nobody can snatch out of Jesus' hand, then you must save. Oh. All right, if you are called, what are they? If you are called, and him say, I give you eternal life. Listen to it now. Listen to it. I give them eternal life. Present tense. Not I will give. I give them eternal life. No, this is saying I give. No,
this is not talking about those who refuse it. This is now saying, all right, let me ask you.
Those who refuse it, me understand, do say. What about those who accept it like we? So wait. So that means that somebody can snatch us out of him hand then. So you disagree. But you disagree with Jesus. Jesus said nobody can snatch us out of hand. And who not tell me say somebody can snatch us out of hand? The self can snatch you out. Oh, so the self important. Oh, so the self make a difference. So the self is more decisive than God's power. Then all right. Our sister Eulalie, if the self is not more decisive than the power, how come the self pull away? Ah, I can frustrate the will of God. Both of them. Equally important. similar proportion. Man's responsibility. And God. So the power of God is not greater than. Well, you say it equally. So that means if you say equally, by logic, if it's equally, that means that God's power not greater than. So we have the will to make it less. Ah, so you see, come back to us. Even if you say we have the will to make it less, that means say it's we. Everybody want to put it. Look like a bright man, you see them thing there, daddy. Even if you say it's we have the will, if it's our decision. That means that even after Jesus said, nobody can snatch and I give you eternal life. It's not final. Because it's up to us. It's up to us. He gave us choice. Let me ask you. On a day-to-day basis, don't you really think about that? When you really walk, when you really think, say it really. I'm just talking about Jesus and resting. You know what the song said? Lord, I will see you again. I hear the song. With the love of God, it's those things that will make me see you again until we meet again. Give me the words again, no? It's, you know, and the love it will be by his strength and his whatever. In a sense, yes, we understand. But you see, as far as God's strength is concerned, God wants all of us whom called to be saved. And he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Him give away everything. Then if him give away everything, how come some of them will be lost? Human will and human choice. I want you to go back home understanding that are day-to-day the decisions that you make, whether you pray or not, whether you forgive me when we offend you from the pulpit or not. I want you to know that it's those things that are going to determine your salvation. A lot of you are resting in a jail, resting in the pen, upon the power. A lot of you better go back home and take responsibility for your life. Take personal responsibility. This passage here would seem to suggest that Calvin is right. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. Go to Romans 8. Go to Romans. Let me show you Romans 8. Romans 8 is another passage that seems decisive for the Calvinists and for those who believe in one save, always save. Romans 8, 29. Those whom he foreknew, like us, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. In order that he might be the firstborn. Listen to this now. Those whom God predestinated, he what? He called. And those whom he called him are what? Him justified. And those whom he justified will also what? Then let me ask you now. That not sound like totally what him do. Him predestined you, him do it. Him call you. Him justify you. And he will glorify you. That sounds like the once saved, always saved people have a point. That once you truly are a child of God and you forget about self, you're going to be saved. You must rest assured in your salvation. Armstrong disagree. And you raise a good point. Israel's chosen and thing. Yes. All right. Look at Philippians 1. Philippians 1. And verse 6, Philippians 1, 6 says, I am sure he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So let me ask you, if he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, how you can be lost? That means that the power of God is not complete. If he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, not if, might. But we'll bring it to completion. So you say, when you can, so you see, you're coming back again to humans. Every time you hear my audience, say, well, when you continue, you have free will. So what are you continually showing? Is that the free will is more significant than the power of God. I know it's so nice to say, when you put it that way, bluntly kind of jar you. jar you, and even some people are not uncomfortable with it. Comfortable with it, you know. But if you're uncomfortable, why you don't follow the Calvinist? I mean, I have no problem. At least the Calvinist is consistent, you know. The people who believe in one save, always save, them consistent. You want a hodgepodge. You want to continue if you believe in a free will and sovereignty. You can't have both. Well, not in the way that the two sides are pushed. I believe you can have both in a balanced way.
Go to Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and 3. He has blessed us with a spiritual blessing in Christ. But verse 5 particularly, he destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ according to his will. He destined us to be his sons according to his will and to be glorified. And what we frustrate that? If God want that.
I want to show you our power.
Because there's a balance in the scripture here. And this is the balance that Mr. Armstrong taught us.
There's a balance here. Excuse me. Philippians 2. Philippians 2.
No, it's Philippians 2 and verse 12.
I'm going to show you this balance. This last great day. For you to be around for this last great day, you better believe that your decisions make a big difference. You know, a lot of people in our church feel they can live anywhere, think anywhere, do anything, and still be safe. It's not true. You're not going to be around on the last great day. All the grace of God, all the grace, you tell you love sing about grace of God. All of that grace, powerless. If you don't repent of your sin. I tell you, all the sin. Don't matter all the grace. The grace is boundless. It's immeasurable like his power. But it cannot finally if you don't submit that will. Amen. You know, a lot I want to understand how that is radically different from Protestant theology. And after that, I want to listen to all the religious programs. You don't know, understand how them program and them preacher are radically different from what church is. And sometimes I might hear one or two old preachers them. I preach something where sound humble. It's false doctrine, I sound humble. You know? Oh, the power of God and forget about yourself and all these kind of things. Nothing about will, it's just about God and it's just about Jesus. If it's just about Jesus, all of us will be saved. If it's just about Jesus, universalism cannot be escaped. All everybody will be saved. Because God comes to save the whole world. Then how come the whole world won't be saved? Because human choices. Human choices. Human decisions. Sophia and Simeon are the same house. Listen to the same sermons. Same Holy Spirit. Why some people in church go through a whole heap of hardship? A whole heap of tension, marriage problem, health problem, work problem, and them survive in our church. And sometimes some of the people in the same house, the same house go through the same thing and drop out of the church. You think God love the one who succeed more and show him more grace and show and give him more power? You think God love him more and God strengthen him more and God's, you know, back him up more? Why him survive? God encourage him more? It's things where him do that make him survive and the partner don't survive. I want to go home and realize the responsibility. I don't want to lose the sense of the power of God. I don't want to have any less power. No. Don't go home. Can you go and need that power? And I'm going to show you, sir. You block that power. You block and sabotage that power. If you make the wrong decision, that's what I want to show you today. I want to show you, sir, the power can move the right way. If you doubt, if you do have faith, that the faith release that power. That's why Jesus could say many times when I hear him say, your faith has saved you. Not the faith that me give you. Your faith. Your faith. Calvin said no. Calvin's the doctrine of total depravity and the bondage of the will. Calvin said nothing good can come from you. That's not true. While sin affected all our faculties, there is still human free agency.
Ramakan is an important thing. Ramakan say church, not firm in us on doctrine.
My doctrine, I'm talking about a fool prophecy thing where some of these guys talk about.
Talk about them serious philosophical and theological issues.
Some say church not grounded, and church can easily be led off in a lot of heresy. I can affect them lives. That's why, as Brother George quoted, Paul tell Timothy, say, listen to me, you better take it to yourself and take it to your doctrine, because so you're going to save yourself. Somehow when we are hold to this grace business, somehow when we are resting in the power of God and I leave everything to the Lord, when we end up right in a lake of fire, will not be around on the last great day. To be around in the last great day, you have to overcome. You have to make right decisions. You have to increase and improve on your talents.
The Lord has given me a message for you for this last great day here. The Lord tell me, let the people them go home and realize their responsibility. Because Satan has subtly, and them do understand, I want you to see the balance in Philippians. The balance in Philippians 2 and verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God is at work in you. I am not denying the power of God. I am not reducing the power of God. I am not minimizing the power of God. God is in you, both to will and to work.
Yes, so your will also. Your will is positively affected by God. I don't disagree with Calvin totally that the will must be impacted by the Spirit. But what I reject Calvin's view, the view of Calvin and Luke that I reject, is that the will is totally in the bondage and we have no free will.
There was a man called Arminius. Arminius held the view that man had free will. That man's decisions make a difference. That when people talk about original sin, and original sin totally distorted people and now the free will. Arminius disagreed. Theologically, we are Arminians. Augustine disagreed. Augustine felt that we couldn't do any good. We are just depraved. Nothing good can come from us. So at the Roman Catholic Church. It's a Roman Catholic Church. That's why they have all this asceticism and all them kind of different orders of the monks. They have a very negative view of human nature. That's why they forbid to marry and all them things there.
It was the Augustinian view. Tell them because I don't understand church history, you know. Sometimes when I follow all Augustine, I don't even know. When I follow all Roman Catholic Father, I don't even know. Arminius stood against the view and taught that human beings have responsibility. We have a responsibility to work out our salvation. It's very important. I want us to turn to Matthew 25. Let's go into some. Let's go in the Gospels now. Look at the parable of the talents.
Where's the water? Look at the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. Is it my water? I have to work for my drink, even my drink, you know.
I want you to understand the parable of the talents regard to salvation. Man went on a journey, called his servants, entrusted them his property. Received the 5 talents, him traded it. I want you to notice that when the master comes back, he expects something that he did not give. He expects something that he did not give. There is something God is expecting from man. It's not just a matter of what God does. What we do is important. We cannot many times say, well, we give what God, what him do, give us. We must put something on it. It must come from us. Of course, the talent we give you is the base. The talent we give you are the foundation. You couldn't get the increase without it. So we have to give, we have to big up the talent. We have to big up the power of God. We have to big up the strength of God. You can't run away from that, you know. Because remember, everything good that you do comes from God. Every good works come from God. Not from us. Because human nature is not oriented toward good. So the strength, let us see, to do the right thing comes from God. So in that case, in that sense, all the glory belongs to God. Because the wherewithal. But having the wherewithal without a person applying it and using it. Lots of power involved in these sockets. Lots of things are going through the atmosphere. But you have to have the satellite and our technologies to capture it. It's here. But it's of no use unless you tap into it. So it's not a matter of saying you don't tap in. If you were trying to tap in and there were no satellite signals, you're wasting your time. You're doing foolish. So the more important thing are the satellite signals, but you have to tap in. People hear the same sermon here. They have the Holy Spirit. And when they go out of the yard, one man lose him job, and him find juniper tree and go and drink rum. And a halfway tree. Another man lose him job, and him start thinking, so you know, it's a long time I work. I slave out myself and not now go on. You know what's the best thing that happened to me? You know what's, I have some talent for trading or something. You know what's at a time it turned me on. Well, it's not say, the man who gone to the bar, you know, he has the Holy Spirit, you know. He has no less of the Holy Spirit. God no less wants him to use his mind. The difference is him. Is his mind. Another man get the unemployment and the man start thinking and say, wait, boy, I could have the best thing this, you know. The man check me and say, Mr. B, you have a whole bunch of contacts in Jamaica. You know anybody at the Jamaica Business Development Center? I have an idea. You can make an appointment. The next man, you know, he can drink. Him start worry himself, boy, God, oh, they do way hard. Imagine him try to follow God and keep peace and lose him job. God wants him to succeed. God called him to save him. God called him so he could be a part of the army to teach people on the last great day. It's his decision. A man starts to have marital problems. The wife miserable. The wife ungrateful. The wife unreasonable. All him trying. The wife still pressure him. The wife are going like she want him, got teeth. As the man come in, the woman start quarrel. As the man come in, the woman start make up nice. The man come in and him give the woman every money him have. But because him only earn $8,000. And $8,000 can't stretch. Sometimes you want to dash it down.
She know the man doesn't have much qualification, whatever. The frustration reach the man. At office, is a nice young lady. She dresses well. She looks very good. At lunchtime, you start talking about him problems. She sympathizes with him. She say, I understand. She say, boy, you're going through a hard thing. You know, one day we should have a drink and I will help you talk over your problem because I know it's he make a decision to have the drink. He might have the one spirit enough, but he want the drink. He sit down and start talking about life. He start finding out that she's very understanding, that she's listening to him. His wife not listen. She only talk. He find out that this woman is very compassionate. So she understand when he eat all those. And boy, you do well, you know, other men would drink it out, other men would do so and so. You bring it home to your wife, boy. I would love a husband like that. So they decide to have another drink because they want more counseling to help him on the path to God. To love his wife more.
One more drink.
I'm having another drink. And he finds him more drawn. Sometimes go home, I have to call her. And the wife just don't cuss him out, you know. And she's gone another section of the house and him. Screechy with him little phone. Can him have free credit. And him have free night after 11 o'clock. After 11 o'clock. When him should have been with him wife. After 11 o'clock. Him have screechy a call. Because him want some comfort. Him have screechy a call. And by these decisions, him being drawn. And next man undergo that same problem, go through the same frustration. No man miserable, no man cost, no man do so and so. And come to a brother in church and say, we're having some problems. Pray for me. Him start listening to sermons more. Pastor preach other practical sermons. How to use the mind, how to deal with those things. Try apply those things. Him try apply the lessons. Him start think and say, when we can get another job? When we can do something on the side on the weekend rather than I kick football and I get six love and I watch TV. Spend up a day, I watch TV, I watch sports, I watch that. I want me can do something on the weekend and bring some extra money into the house. Rather than a bad boy time and why God, oh, you know, God's people are under oppression on the earth and these employers are Satan people. You could have think about what other work you can get to give the woman some more than the $8,000. And you come up with the two man them, you know, the two man them make different decisions. God wants both of them to be saved. One run in the arms of a woman. And he find himself them into adultery, all kind of thing. You know, all sort of problems start up. When he come to the peer problem, he must find with pastor. Like a pastor preach against adultery. And he want to hear about doctrine. He want to hear about prophecy and the beast. He no want to hear me a lick out against adultery. He want revelation unveiled. But him in the arms of the beast. It is the decisions that we make, the practical decisions. The resourcefulness that we bring to life. Master, you delivered me these talents. A man who get two, he said, I get more on it. Man who get five, say, I get some more on it. The man who get one, keep it. I say, God, are you me a deal with that? You are everything. Me now run no risk with you. God wants us. God wants more than we give away. God wants an investment on what he has given us. He wants to see something beyond what he has given. That is how we become God beings. That is how God is going to trust us with the power of God life. He wants to know that so we are people who trust him. We are people who have faith. We are people who now run from him when problems. He wants to know that so we show initiative. That we show resourcefulness. He knows that so we must know that it's through trials and tribulation. When me and Christian people are talking about how they wonder why God bring that upon them. Now, what did the people understand the doctrine? The doctrine is about character. The doctrine is
That is through the trying of your faith and your work, the patience. Patience must have its full work. You must have problems. You must have challenges, whether it's health, or it's home problem, or it's money problem, a church problem, and sometimes you have the cocktail, every one of them come by your same time. And that time you have to have the faith to know that God would have never allowed for happen unless him knows say, the strength provided for you. Yeah. Can we believe in the strength of God, you know? Yeah. But you must plug into the strength that is your decision. And your decision that.
You can go on that juniper tree or you can plug into the power of God. That is how you can sabotage. You can go on that juniper tree and run and say, God, take my life. And you face life as a child of God. Amen. That's why we're called. Don't talk about, you know, brethren, Peter says, don't make it look like some strange thing has happened to us. The fiery trial. Boy, it's strange.
Where shall find strange if you don't have a problem?
If your life's mood, anyone I want in here, me see, want to tell me something on a problem? Me know something wrong with you, no?
Because everyone who him love, him chasing.
If you don't have a problem, and it's called get a break, so I can get a break. But if you don't have a problem, that's a problem. You're supposed to have problems.
If you have money, you're supposed to have other type of problem. If you don't have health problem, you're supposed to have other problem. Because your work here is to overcome to be in the kingdom. When you come on the last great day, when man go through him thing, problem, and you have a life of without problem, you can't talk to man. What you have to share? You don't have none to share with man. You must tell man where you go through, where you face. You must tell man where you face and where you master. You go through life smooth. Like Joyce, my everything you pray for, you get. Everything I have to do is go for your knees and it come. God just supply everything. Me don't want to watch all them programs now, but listen to me. Don't be seduced by those programs. The church of God teaching is not like these programs that tell you about get money. It's not the universal church and the kingdom of God. It's not why you go Blue Mountain and you do your prayer and you chain a prayer and you get house, you get car, you get husband, you get wife. It's problems you must get because you're being trained to solve problems. Can you imagine if we had military camp? And we train at boot camp. And when you go a 5-star hotel like Grand and swimming pool life. And every day you go scuba diving and horseback riding. You don't must ask yourself that way. That when the training will start. I mean all this fun. And then that me come a military school for. We're not in a church with a phone. I mean if me and my worldly friends them at the work. I have life smooth. Something wrong with me. Me have to question my calling. So do us a woman, you never know, no problem, you know. Well, we should shame ourselves. We shouldn't move. We shouldn't doubt the guy. If that tell we say, we're not really called. Suppose you have problems. You suppose. Do not be strange at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you. To prove you is not something strange. The Bible says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him not be ashamed. I mean, Thessalonians, what Thessalonians says? In 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3, no one must be moved by these afflictions. You yourself knows this to be our lot. Me, I go through life expecting problems. That's what I'm about. I'm not here mind but about peace of mind. I'm not there about peace of mind. I am in training. A soldier does not get involved in civilian affairs. My life on the earth here now is training toward godliness, to exercise myself toward God. I cannot expect smoothness on my career path, smoothness in marriage, smoothness everywhere. No. But one thing I know, I make a difference. Because one of the things, you know, we preach a lot about problems in the church. And sometimes we get the problem, they get the impression that because we have a lot of problems, we must be snowed under.
Another thing I want to understand with the problem, the fact that you get trials and get problems. Don't mean so they have to overcome you. You can get problem and trial and still be happy to them. You can still have joy. So don't want to feel sad because you have problems. It means you must weigh down. You must depress. You can have problems. And you master the problems. And you conquer the problems. You can conquer problem after problem. That God, that sometimes God has run out of problem because you do so well. I mean, God, if you wonder if you bring next. In take away the person you love and you still go on. In take away your job and you still go on. In take away your health and you still go on. What do you mean, man? Jesus, I give you all this so your joy may be full. Your joy can full even when your problem is full. I want to tell you, people of God, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. We must be afraid of problems. Because we know the power that we have. There's a power that we have. Our lack of faith is a big problem. Our lack of faith. There are some things God wants to do for us. Bible said the Lord had no shortage. You know. It was sin separate. There are some things that God wants to do for us. And then can't do. Can you imagine that? That's true. I mean, it's almost so paradoxical for me to say God can't do something. There's something God wants to do and can't do. You think God can do a thing? Armstrong taught us God cannot create character in us. God cannot create character. And that's something where you have to do. Working with him, you know. But him can't create it. By fiat, go back to the foundation of our doctrine. Go back to the foundation, but I'm going to Protestantism. Every day, I know my decisions make a difference. When I meet with my leaders, I tell them, our decisions make a difference. The church can mash up if we are fool. People can overrun the church. We must understand the people that we have in our church. We have to know them. We study them like book. Otherwise, the church are going into trouble. The decisions that we make a difference. It's no accident that I'm leading the largest. A white man come from over the ground to meet me. Then bring him. Them say, boy, I have to meet you. I read so much about you in a journal and everything. I hear you're the fastest growing. And I have to come meet this man. I want to know how you do it. Because the world we are declining in America. You might meet with six people. You might over there with UCG, but you might have one independent group. You might have a different calendar. Theme last great day is Saturday. Yeah, man, what a different thing I go in at church. Same one, I know the formula. Everybody are declined. But if you may know me, you don't know him. Say, you know the people, him say, some guys from America say you are the difference. I say, well, you know, I deflected that. I tried to be humble for a minute. So I said, I don't put it quite that way. Don't put it quite that way. But I've tried to do some things. And I've had good people around me. But those good people around me draw a lot of strength from my approach to things. And there are some things I want to empower you. I want to empower every one of you. Get above me. I want to empower every one of you to know someone who can make an enormous difference in the church. I want everyone to know. So the church, we must say the church, this church, I'm not going to hell as last well midnight. If me left, probably it can mash up, but it wants me there. I'm going to work in such a way. I'm going to make a difference. I want you to say that even Jamaica mash up and say, boy, I appear corrupt people in Jamaica, I appear wicked people. You see, for me in Jamaica, yeah, man, it can't be as bad as it will be if me never in Jamaica. We must make a difference. We must believe in that. I want to tell you that there are some things that God himself won't do and can't do. That sounds funny, you know.
God himself wants to, but because of our lack of faith. Now, faith is a critical thing. Faith is what we need. Faith will carry us through. In Numbers 14, it says, him say, your dead body, verse 20, your dead body shall fall in this wilderness, and all of your number, numbered from 20 years old upward, who have murmured against me, not one shall come into the land which I swore I would make you dwell. Listen to me. God swears, say, him going to make them dwell in it, and yet them never dwell in it. What that mean? It means, say, God's desire is not the only thing. God did swear, so them go in there, and them never in there. It's whose fault? So you see, human response is the critical factor. Is the critical factor, because as it pertains to God, same thing is certain. His will is certain, and he has the power. The only person who can stop God is we. You know you could have stopped God. You always seen a God who has told us. No, let me respond. There are times when God intervenes. Let me make it for the simplistic who will want to go to extreme. There are times when God overrides the will. There are times when God kick out your willpower and do certain things. But as regards salvation, notice I'm very careful, you know. I don't say that God's sovereignty don't override human will. He override things with governments, and sometimes man want to do something, override things with church leaders. As to your salvation, when it comes to your salvation, when it comes to your going into the promised land, you will have to develop character. It is up to you. Even though God had that desire. Matthew 14. Let's go into some experience that Jesus had. Matthew 14. 22. The experience of Peter. Matthew 14, 22. Then he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him on the other side. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into the mountain and to pray. And when evening came, he was there. But the boat by this time were many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves. You know, sometimes your boats are beaten by the waves. And the wind is against it, man. I'm telling you, the boat out there, you know. But may I tell you, you think about my car yet lick? You don't do a lick yet, man. The boat, the thing against it, the boat. The boat rocky. The boat rickety. Everywhere hole can go, hole go. Everything is against the boat. The wind against it. The waves against it. The sea creatures against it. The elements of the heavenly dew, everything against the boat. And it seemed like there's no boat. Nobody could have wanted to stay in that boat. Everything looked rough. But in the fourth watch of the night, the man Jesus came walking on the sea. Hallelujah, the power of Jesus. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus calmed them immediately and said, take heart. It is I. And I. Do not fear. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you in the water. Give me the power. Bid me to come. What will stop him? He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. You always say, take him eyes and put him eyes. But when he saw the wind, Olaf,
when him saw the wind, when him saw what, listen to me, when him saw reality, that man started saying, listen to me, this is me right, you know. The wind there. Wind against body, them type of wind against body here. Body can't stand this. The pressures are too much. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. I want you to understand what happened, you know. Nothing changed where Jesus is concerned. Nothing changed where the power of Christ is concerned. Nothing changed where the miraculous ability of Christ to sustain him on the water is concerned. Nothing changed. The only thing that changed is the man's mind. Yes. Yes. Listen to me, when I understand preaching. The only thing that changed is the man's mind. And when the man decides to focus on, the man starts focus on wind, and his heart starts beat. Him start think about all we can go wrong. Him start think we are against him. The man said, I'm dead already now. The man said, we can't make it. The man said, why, I wonder why we come out here, sir. I wonder why we come join this church with all my problem now. When me in Adventist and Church of God 7 days, me only have somewhat to deal with. Now me have all feast day. Make me career mash up. I wonder why me pick up all this. Me could have keep Christmas and all them kind of things there. My family would be happy. Him start think and beginning to sink. Is it fear? Is it lack of fear cause him to sink? The power of Jesus was always there. The lack of faith sabotage the power of this great miracle worker, Jesus Christ. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand in grace, caught him and said, oh man of little faith, why did you doubt? There are many situations we are going to face in our lives when we go back. Will you doubt? Or will you keep your eyes on Jesus? Will you doubt? Matthew 15. Matthew 15. 21. Another encounter of faith. This time now outside of Israel. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the city of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region out came and cried and said, have mercy on me, O Lord, the son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by the demon. But he did not answer a word. May I show you about the power of human response now, you know. May I show you some human beings and their response make a difference. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, no man. You know, she's crying after us. I make up nice and nuisance. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, you hear about this man who is so compassionate. If Mary could ever meet a man like this, and this man who is supposed to be compassionate, who is supposed to know compassion, who is supposed to know to talk to people, a man that talk. Listen to me, this was interpreted as racism, you know. This man has something business with full type of people from Tyre side, and you know, me only come to deal with the pure blooded people, you know. No, you see, again, you know, I want to read them something, I want to take it, I want to realize. This is like a white man, this is like Armstrong, a white man. You see Armstrong pass through a place, you go to America, you go to him and say, Mr. Armstrong, I read all your books, you're so great. He said, get away from you, don't see you're not Israel. All the Americans and the British people are Israel. I'm not really focused. I wanted to get, you know, set up a college. Why don't put a college in Jamaica? He said, young man, I'm not setting a college to you, Gentiles. Think you'll run back to Jamaica and want to come serve? I'm at that warm sort of truth. Human response. Jesus seemed very uncompassionate, unloving. The woman could have walked away. The woman could have walked away and said, listen to me. Why my people dead? My pride come first. Me not take them face in itself. Me not take them liberty. Plus, this man couldn't be a real man of God. Because no man of God would have said that. That's right. Human response. But she came and knelt before him. What? Knee before a man like this? Say, Lord, help me. The woman wanted what she wanted so badly. She walked on her feelings. She not business with the man want to say. She say, you have what me want, and you could have called me anything. Me love my daughter more than me love my pride and me love my feelings.
Your brother John, come and tell me, say, and that's for.
She said, leave the church because church don't mean nothing to them. These things don't mean nothing to them, so don't walk out. You see, if you don't want something badly enough, I thought we left church or passing this and all that. And jokers. You see, you want something badly enough. You see, you're hungry and you're thirsty and you want it like Esau. Give me this or I die. Man, tell you, you're taking self-invitation. When you know what you want out of life, and you know who can give you it. Say, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Hold on, it's a worse insult the man give you now.
Come on, Solomon, come to your work.
This is worse. Are you talking about lack of compassion?
Some individuals could not take that. A whole lot of individuals couldn't. You think you never come and say certain things? You think everybody's trying to stay? Oh, but I mean, me kind of thought we will pay some experiments sometime, come at the public and go on with some things.
Me can't him take the place if you want. I just call me up, you know. Not over you, though. Me know not you. Me know not you much. Me know me not a power over you. Me know that anything me tell. Me know you different. But me can't him take the place, you know. If I let them only because me, I say the right thing, you know. You have somebody come weak. Me say, me can't talk, so throw out some word for some of them. Don't come back. Them run, go to Spanish Town, I run, go to Waterless, I run somewhere else. If them run, left the whole thing. And that power them have. Because them don't have this like with the Canaanite woman. Can't say some things, but them misery, them vex, them them start living a hate. And sabotage all them salvation. I laugh after them. But me not that cruel. But I tell you, we no different. Me not give no man no power over that way in my life. Amen. Me like mad. Me not give no man no power over that. Not find a power over that anywhere else. If you make me left church of God when me not for 38 years. Lot of man come and go in my time and more hard to go. Man, none of them kind of power there. Talk anything you want to talk. The woman said, yes, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the mouth of the woman. No, listen to me. No, what a woman. Then Jesus answered her, oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you deserve. As you deserve it. And you look at them talking about man can't deserve anything. Jesus says you deserve great faith. And yet you have John's disciples him. And John was a man of God. A follower of all kind of things. John, what one time had the man come prepare the way for Jesus coming up? Had the man sit in Jesus and say, behold the love of God, you know? Had a man they would believe was so humbling themselves, man. He must increase and I must decrease. A time come, John, not Jill and John here, so the man I take him liquor. The man I move with some prostitute. Some things start bad at the man. And the man, the disciple, the man call and says, it's me. The one you go ask Jesus. If I him are the one, or should we expect another? The power of offense is so strong that even John start wonder, him are the proclaimer, him are the forerunner, you know. We want to show you feeling strong. That John himself of your sin. And Jesus, I'll give back to you and say, blessed is he who take no offense at me. Human beings make a difference. That's why some people not in ICJ now. Their responses make a difference. If you are going to survive and come back, it's not just the power of God. It's the power of your response. I got going to determine whether you come back next year. I got going to determine whether you remain faithful in the church. Now there's Jesus' grace and power. The decisions that you make, how you put your mind, your mindset, those are the critical factors.
But they fool you with a false sense of humility. You better understand your responsibility. The woman's daughter was healed immediately, Matthew 20, because of that response. Matthew 20, verse 29. As he went out to Jericho, a great crowd followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard Jesus pass, they cried, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Them could have gone and sit by the roadside, you know, and sit and beg money, you know. Them could have gone and said, "Why not now go on, just get a food for the day, you know." They cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And the crowd rebuked them, said, "Shut up." But they cried out all the more. Listen to me, there are sometimes when some people tell you, "I try to quench your faith. And I try to step by it." You have to show the faith even more. There's some people who want to try to shut you up in your faith and shut up your testimony. At that time you must talk. Don't make nobody steal your faith. Don't make nobody quench your faith. They cried out even more. Human response. Other people, once a man they shut up and once them get a little discouragement, them done. Then try, you know. But one little discouragement reach them, then them give up. The power of human response. And Jesus stopped and called them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" Because he shout so loud, he had to get him attention. And Jesus, in pity, he said, "Lord, let our eyes be open." And Jesus, in pity, touched the eyes and immediately received their sight. The power of human response. Luke 17, as we move through these stories, as we go back to our homes. Looking at the importance of faith. You know, sometimes people debate whether faith is a gift of God. There's a faith that, because Calvin and Luther emphasized that faith was just a total gift of God. Listen to me. If you read the Gospels, it is clear that there's a faith that comes from human response. The faith that's a gift of God is the faith that helps you to understand the truth, that gives you spiritual knowledge. But there is a faith that comes from the human will. There's a faith that comes from the human will. Luke 17. Remember the 10 lepers who were cleansed? Verse 19 said, "He said, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole." Your faith has made you whole. Not the faith I gave you. Your faith that you expressed. You came to me. You asked for the healing. Your faith has made you whole. Luke 5. Behold, men. There's a paralytic man. They were bringing him on a bed, but by the place ran because everybody had come to Jesus wanted healing. And everybody coming, they sought to bring him and lay before Jesus, but finding no way. They could have carried him back and said, "Boy, if you come back another time." Them can't say, "Boy, you can't say, me never try." A man busts through the place. Listen to me. A whip of times, we have problems. And we give up. And we say, "There's no way out. There's a way out." Let me find out the proverb and it broke down. Roof, mash down roof. Hey, faith, you know. Well, faith, have a find. Faith coming like water. Have a find some way, some passage, some way out. That kind of faith we need. Listen, my man. When Jesus said, "When the Son of Man come, will he find faith?" It's the most vital thing the church need apart from love. Is faith. Faith. To survive. Faith, that confidence. That boldness to know that God will do what he says he will do. To draw upon the power of God. And your faith can block that power. Your faith can block that power. Luke 8. Your faith can block that power. I want to show you a classic case. That people say, well, there's a faith where God give you. I'm going to show you a classic case. A classic case where the faith is obviously coming from the person and not from Jesus. It's not Jesus give the person the faith. Let me show you this example here now. Let me go to the woman with the issue of blood. Luke 8, 43. Let me go test this view now. Say, well, the faith is faith that comes from Jesus. Jesus gave the faith. God gave the faith. Nothing, no more boast about it. Let me show you. Let me mash down that liar now. Luke 8, 43. And a woman who had a flow of issue of blood for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood ceased. Let me tell you something. And Jesus said, who was it who touched me? Jesus never knew. It's not Jesus here and give the faith. And the woman after all going and there's a power once the woman tap in, the woman get the result. Jesus never even know who touched him. It was not the initiative of Jesus. It was not the initiative of Jesus was God. There's a faith we have that God respond to that. God depend on us. God wants something from us. We make a difference. Our choices make a difference. Our decisions make a difference. I want everybody to go home today. Say, if I want thing I get from the feast, my decisions make a difference. Me make a difference. When we do make a difference, how we respond make a difference. The people who fail in that church is because of how they respond. It's not going to be because of the Holy Spirit. Hold on. The people who fail is not that they have less Holy Spirit than those of us who stay in that church. It's not because we didn't call upon God to help them less. Human response. Human response. Disciples say, who touch you? Everybody here touch you. Everybody here press upon you. He said, no, something. We can feel it if the thing go. Listen, my man. Listen, my man. We can drop on the power of God. We can drop on the power of God. God, not for direct. We are drawn that power by your faith. Hallelujah, man. If we go back to our homes with this, man. If we go home with this. And he said, look at verse 48. And he said to her daughter, Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Your faith. Just touch the hem of his garments. Your faith has made you whole. The power of that faith. And I want to give you a classic text in Mark 6 where the ultimate power issue is. Is the biggest thing God's power? The ultimate thing God's power when it comes to our salvation, our response? Let me give you the clincher now. It's Mark 6 and verse 6. So the clincher maybe I can give you. If you have any doubt, you look on this. Jesus went to his own country, Mark 6:1. He began to teach in the synagogue, and the people were saying, boy, will this man have so much knowledge and get so much wisdom? But not the carpenter's son this. And don't him, brother, they were only place here with us. Verse 4, and Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. Verse 5. And he could do no mighty work there.
except to lay hands. Jesus, the mighty miracle worker, he was constrained and could not do any great work because of a lack of faith. Me said the mighty Jesus was restrained. His power could not be effected because of people's lack of faith.
You tell me about human beings, how it is God's power and God's grace and God everything. Jesus himself, powerless.
When you don't have the faith. Sister, one time I want to help you, and can I help you?
Look at the concept of God can't do anything. The concept of God is omnipotent. He's omnipotent.
Your lack of faith is so powerful that the greatest power in the world can't. No, I want you to see it in us now. I want you to go and take out to me when Pastor come with today. No. Me say the greatest power in the world cannot break through the power of your lack of faith. He could not do.
Don't look around the church with so much problems. No. You know, my things are so much. God, him saying, the life will bless you. You know what thing God want to do for you? No? I want to sit down and wait for God and I pray. Look for one and see the problems. We know, you know, talk to me. Someone could have a ride on the high place. Someone could have more money. I'm going to tell you the truth. I sympathize with you, no broke. But we could have more money, you know. And you know, some me could have broke like someone, you know. No, I tell you that, you know. No, we feel some kind of superior intellect and superior thing. Me could have broke, too. Yeah, that's true. Isn't that the guy? If God love me more, he didn't become more righteous, so I have more money. Father was a poor tailor. Let me go feast first. We borrowed credit union money. We spent about 3 or more years of payback for that. But for a long time, I believe it's going to make a difference. You can't call it by anything you don't want to call it. You know, all right. You can't call it anything you don't want to call it. My bread butter. Me recognize long time, say, my faith, my response, my decisions make a big difference. You can't go on and argue amongst yourself. God wants to do a lot. Some of the sins are to not under. We don't have to be under them sins, you know. The power of God block. All that pray and thing. There's something you need to get up off of your knees and do. Amen. The prayer is important. Yeah. The fasting is important. Yeah. But God wants something from you. God wants something from you. Yeah. The last great day, when the people come up for judgment, God will expect something from them. You see, after the 100-year period finished, you're going to have a thing prepared called the lake of fire. You see that lake of fire? Listen to me. God don't want anybody to go in the lake of fire. The lake of fire make for the devil and the angel. The lake of fire not make for human being. God no want human being in the lake of fire. How human being ever reach the lake of fire? Human decisions. Human response. Lack of faith. I know God. I know God power. A Satan and an angel it make for is human decisions. It's your decisions. I say to you, brethren, as we close out this great Feast of Tabernacles, Satan has tried to mar the feast. You feel? Yeah, and but part of the reason why I feel is because some of us, part of the reason why I feel, me could have made things worse at this feast. I'm not going to tell you how. But me could have made things worse. Part of the reason why I'm failed is because me there and Smith and others there. Me could have made things worse at this feast. But you don't have to know about that. Satan has been thwarted. His power has been thwarted. Satan can gain victories depending on what he wants to do. Yes. Yes. Satan can gain foothold in a church because of what he wants to do.
I can do only so much. I can warn only so much. I can protect only so much. There's some things we don't have to do. And certainly when it comes to personal salvation, I help and I preach. Stay up late at night, ask my wife. Only 4 hours sleep I get. But to bed 1:30, so I get up back 5 to talk. You see, when I leave fees, when I left fees, me happy I'm as a breeder sigh of relief. At that time my vacation starts. I have achieved every single thing I came down here for. More than me telling me more. Every single thing I come down here for. Me achieve. By the way, the leaders were supposed to meet me, immediately after. The last thing I work on before me leave here. Everything me achieve. Come and plan it out. Me have it written down in a book what me want to achieve. Human response. Someone want to come and have hope and wishes and hope and things and want to go away. And now achieve everything. What political thing come pass away and phone and people drop in pound and visit and chat on phone and all that. I realized a long time that my response make a difference. That my faith makes a difference. That what I do makes a difference. I want to close in Luke 5. Luke 5. As I thank you so much for this great feast. You have been really wonderful. Some of the problems we used to have in early years, we don't have them anymore. The discipline of our children, of our young people, largely. I've been very pleased. Very pleased with the work of the leaders, especially. I know Brother Hendricks has done a lot of work. What we did in the last 2 days alone to be able to have these services, remarkable. That very first class presentation by Sean gives us hope for the future. But you must realize that you must continue. Not going to be just God. Just God a key and God power. Him we have to make some decisions to continue to be yielded by God. I end with this story of Jesus in Luke 5. Luke 5 and verse 2, breaking into his thought. He saw two boats by the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught people from the boat. And when they had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. I said to you, Church of God, it's time for us to put out in the deep, not just on the edge. A time for us to go in the deep with God now. A time for us to sink into God. Put out into the deep. Let out your nets. Go deep. Simon answered, listen, but Master, we toiled all night. Nothing down there. You might think so deep. A whole part thing. Nothing down there. All the jungle. And tiki tiki. We tied all night. But at your word, Lord, I believe you. At your word. Hallelujah. I will put out with it. You know, sometimes things look bad. Sometimes things look dread. But if Jesus says so, I think we should say, Lord, at your word, we're going to put out into the deep. Sometimes it looks impossible. Sometimes it looks like this. You know, this marriage, this world, this situation, this thing in that church, it can't come back. It looks impossible. Sometimes I get discouraged over things. I get impatient. The Lord said to Ian, put out in the deep. And the Lord says so. It can't go so. Put out into the deep. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish. And their nets were breaking. Hallelujah. And they beckoned to their partners, to the other boat, come and help me, because so much coming up. Last night it was barren. But no, because Jesus said, we must put out into the deep. They came and filled the boats. So the boat began to sink. Let me tell you something. A lot of us can live in the overflow. A lot of us were experiencing scarcity. God said, now, put out in the deep. Jesus said, your time of abundance has come. Put out in the deep in Jesus. Put out in the deep and see what God will do for you. The year that is coming can be your year of victory. It can be your year of overcoming. God says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God has the power. We can tap into that power. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace.